Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yod, Amud Aleph, about to analyze the next passage in our list, in the third Mishnah, in our list of pagan holidays, which therefore were banned from doing business with them 3 days in advance. Yom Genusia Shel Malchayim. What does that mean? Genusia sounds... is a Greek word that sounds very much like what we're familiar with, Genesis, which either means birth or just any new start. Ma'i v'yom genusia shel malchayim. So the Gemara immediately wants to know what the word means. Amar Rav Yehuda, yom shema'amidin bo ovdei kochavim et malkam. The day that the Romans crown their new emperor. Hatanya, we can't say that because yom genusia v'yom shema'amidin bo et malkam. We have another list in a Braita that includes yom genusia and coronation day. So Lokasha Hadidei Hadibre, that when they crown the new king, that's Yom Shemamidin Bot Malkam. Yom Genusia is the day that the crown prince is named, meaning which son will be the heir. But the question is, Umi Mot Mimalka Bar Malka, since when do the Romans have a dynasty? Which, for most of the Roman history, it's true that they didn't. Vatani Rav Yosef, you have to remember that the rabbis saw Esav as being embodied in Rome, and therefore all the prophecies of Ovadia against the nation of Moab, as of Edom, were really directed prophetically towards Rome. And when Ovadia says, Hine katon etaticha bagoyim bazui atameyod, you are very small and disgraced among the nations, you can't read that simply about Rome in a straightforward fashion because it's just not true. And therefore, how do we interpret it? She'ein moshivin melech ben melech, that they don't have a dynasty. That's why they're small. Meaning their kings don't have children who are fit to be king. Now, Bazuya Tameod, what does that mean? She'ein lahen lo ktav velo lashon. The interested reader here is directed, this is very much not on our topic, but the interested reader here is directed to the Dikduke Sofrim's version of Rashi's comment here. He claims that Rashi's comment, as it appears here, was censored, and really Rashi had a longer comment in which he claimed that the nation we're speaking about is not Rome, but rather the church, and the idea that all of the church's literature was really given to them by Jews who wrote what they did and directed them away from Hebrew and away from Jerusalem, etc., in order to separate them from the Jewish people. It's a fascinating study by itself. Interested readers should do a little search and find Dr. Lyman's article on the Scroll of Fasts and the Fast of the Ninth of Tevet. There's a lot of interesting literature on it. In any case, Elama Yom Genusia, if that's the case, then what's Yom Genusia if we say that in Rome there never is a crown prince appointment day? The answer is Yom Shemabidin Bo Malkam. It is coronation day. V'lokash Hadidei Hadibrei. We're going back to our first answer, that there's the coronation day and there's the name of the crown prince. V'kashalach to Lamok Malka Bar Malka. If you claim that, after all, they don't have a dynastic succession, the answer is Ayideh Sheila Mokmi. Once in a while, the king will make a request of the Senate and the army, and this happened several times in history, notably with Marcus Aurelius in 191, or before that, when he requested that his son be allowed to take over. And the example given here is Kigon Asvirus bar Antoninus de Malach. Asvirus, now Antoninus is a character, we're not exactly sure who he is. He's somebody somewhere at the beginning of the 3rd century. We know that because of his friendship with Rebbe. And we're going to now hear stories about Antoninus' friendship with Rebbe. The big question, of course, is that if Antoninus was really the emperor, what is he doing in the Galil instead of in Rome? But here's an example of Antoninus who requested that his son be able to take over, and he did. So the day that he was given permission, that was Yom Genusia. All right. Now, we're going to hear some stories about Antoninus. Amarle Antoninus the Rebbe. I want my son to rule in my place when I die. I also want to take Tiberia, the town of Tiberia, and turn it into a colony, literally colony, meaning to make it tax-free. If I ask the Senate for one of these requests, they'll honor them, either one. They won't give me both requests. So what do I do? So Rebbe had this interesting way. Rebbe and Antoninus were sharp, they were friends, and they used interesting communication. Aiti gavra arkave agavre achavre. So Rebbe brought a fellow, and he put him on top of another fellow. V'yahav le'yona li'iloi b'yadein. He gave a dove to the guy who was on the shoulders. V'amar le'tatoi, and he told the guy underneath, Emar le'ilah de'lemifrach min yadei Yona, tell the guy above to let the bird go. Oh, Amar shmamina achi kamar li, so Antoninus figured, this is what Rebbe is alluding to. Ad boy minayu da'asviros bar v'riyim loch tchoti. You request that your son take over for you. He'll be like the guy who's on the shoulder. And you tell him that when he becomes emperor, he'll make Tveri into a colony. Good. The senators are giving me a lot of tzorot. The senators are the important people in Rome are giving me a lot of tzorot. So what did Rebbe do? Ma'ayale legina. He took him into the garden. Called Yoma Akavis. So this went on for a while. Kol yoma akar le pugla mi mashra kama. He would take one radish out from the row that was right in front of him. Kame. So amar shmamina achi kamar. So he says, I know what Rebbe's telling me. At k'tol chad chad minayu. Each day, knock one out, kill one guy. Don't go after all of them at one shot. Because Rebbe was hinting to Antoninus how he should handle his affairs. Why doesn't Rebbe just tell him what to do? Why is he playing these games? Amar shami chashuvei Romoi umetzaruli. The important people of Rome. What I like to posit here is perhaps it means the important people in the satrapy of the Galil will hear it and will give him trouble. Volemale balacha. So why doesn't Rebbe whisper it to him? Mishum dechtiv ki ofashoyim yodichat hakol. Because birds carry the voice. Meaning when you whisper something, it's already not whispered. Okay, Havileha hu barta deshma Gira. Antoninus had a daughter whose name was Gira. Ka'avda Isura. She violated some sort of a violation of sexual modesty. She had an affair, perhaps. Shadale Gargiro. So what happened? Rebbe sent him a Gargiro, which is the name of a plant. Shadale Kuspa. So, and what was the idea? Gargiro, meaning, what Antoninus sent him. Gar, Gira, meaning Gira has done something wrong. Gar, she's violated something. Shardale, Kosbarta, Kusbar, which is a kind of a plant. Also, if you divide it up into two Aramaic words, Kosbarta means kill the daughter. So Shardale, Karti. So he sent back leeks, which are Karti, which means that if I kill her, then I'm cut off. I have no children. So Shalachle, Chasa. So he sent them back lettuce, which is Chasa, which means have compassion on her. It's like all Rosh Hashanah meal going back and forth. Kol yom ha'vai shadalei dahava pricha b'matrata v'chiti apumayu. Every day, Antoninus would send Rebbe a bag of gold, and on top of the bag, where you would see, was a bunch of wheat. Amar lehu, and he told his servants, amtiyu chiti l'Rebbe. Take this wheat to Rebbe. Because he didn't want them to know he's giving them gold. Amar lehi Rebbe lo tzarichna. Rebbe said, I don't need it. Eat lituva, I've got lots of it. Meaning, I've got lots of gold. Amar lehavu leman de batrach, diyahavi lebatroi da'atu batrach. You give it to whoever comes after you, and they'll give it to whoever comes after them. Uda'ati minayu, and when somebody finally needs it, nipokalayu, then we'll have a cheshbon about how much I gave. Okay. Havi lehahi nakarta dave ayla mibete levit Rebbe. He had a little tunnel that went from his house to Rebbe's house. Kol yoma have mighty treyavdi. Every day Antoninus would go through this tunnel secretly with two servants to go to Rebbe. Chad katle abava devei Rebbe. One of them he would kill when he got to the door of Rebbe's house. Chad katle abava devei, and the other one when he got back home he'd kill him on his door. Meaning amrle beina, and the reason was he didn't want anyone to know that he was going to Rebbe's house secretly. Amrle beina da atina lo nashkach gabach gvar kamach. He told Rebbe, when I come to you, I don't want anyone else to be there. It has to be private. And he was killing his own slaves every day to make sure this happened. One time he came in and he saw Rebbe's closest Talmud, the one who took over for Rebbe, Rav Chanina bar Chama, who was sitting in front of him. Didn't I tell you, Rebbe, when I come, I have to be alone with you? This guy is not a man, meaning he's a malach. You could trust him, not to worry. So So he said, okay, Rav Chanina, please do me a favor. Go outside and tell the slave that's sleeping outside that he should get up and go. Now that slave, of course, Antoninus knew was dead. He saw he was dead. And the idea was to frighten him. Amar Hechiyavid, what should I do? If I come and tell him that the servant's dead, you're not supposed to come back with bad news. Ashbekeve Ezel, if I just walk out and leave him, because he thinks somebody else came and killed the Antoninus' slave. So he says, people are degrading the Malchut. It's not nice. So what happened? What did he do? He prayed and brought this slave back to life and sent him off. So now Antoninus said, Zuti di'ipachu machai metim. Even your students, the smallest ones among you, can revive the dead. Still, when I come to you, I don't want to have anybody else there. All right. And what happened is he would come to Rebbe and he would serve Rebbe. Machile, he'd feed him. Machile, he'd give him a drink. Rebbe would get to go on his bed. Rebbe was evidently older than him. Even though if Antoninus is who we think he is, the second Marcus Aurelius, he died before Rebbe. He leaned over and so that Rebbe could climb upon his back to go on his bed. Amarle saki lavai lepuryach. And he said, climb on me to go to your bed. It's not nice to mazalzel in the monarchy that much. He said, halavai, I should be your bed in Olam Haba. I would do anything to serve you. This is what Antoninus, the governor or the future Caesar, says to Rebbe. Amarle atino da alma da'ati, and then he turned and asked Rebbe, tell me something, am I going to Olam Haba? Amarle in, yes you are. Amarle v'haktiv lo yes sarid levet esav. In Ovadia it says, Beit Esav, which is the Romans, will have no survivors, meaning Olam Haba. The answer is both sev ma'aseh esav. So Rebbe said, yeah, that's only if you behave like Esav. You don't. Tanu mi'achi lo yes sarid levet esav. Yachol akol. I may think that's everybody in the Roman Empire. Tamadom levet esav. It's important to note that in the first couple centuries of the Common Era, there were Roman notables who were converting both to Judaism and to Christianity. So, Be'oseh Ma'aseh Esav, Amar Lev Aktiv, Shama Edom Malachea V'chol Nesieha, Edom and all of her leaders, her kings and all of her leaders are going to be destroyed. Amar Lev Malachea V'lo Kol Malachea, meaning some of her kings. Kol Nesieha, her leaders, V'lo Kol Sarea, but not all of her ministers. Meaning, there are exceptions. Now, Malachah, Veloko Malachah, Prat Antoninus Parasphira. So, who's the exception? Antoninus. Who are the ministers who are excused? Prat Lektia Bar Shalom. Lektia Bar Shalom may be Flavius Clemens towards the end of the first century, who was a Roman notable who converted. And this was during the time, if it's the same person, during the time of Domitian, who was a very anti-Jewish Caesar. Ktia Bar Shalom, I have, what's the story? Dahu Kesara, Dave son of the Yudai. There was a Caesar who really hated the Jews. Amar lo lachashuvah d'malchuta. He told the senators, Misha alalu nima baraglo. Let's say somebody has gangrene in his leg. Yikat enavi yichyesh, should he cut it off and live? Or yenichen avi tzair, or leave it there and be in pain and perhaps die? Amar lo yikat enavi yichyesh. The answer is you cut it off. And as he was saying, we should cut off the Jews because they're like gangrene. Amar lo ktia bar shalom. So ktia bar shalom said to him, because he understood what he was saying. He said, first of all, you'll never be able to kill them all. I have spread you like the four winds, God says. What was what did he mean? If God meant to say he spread you to the four sides of the world, should have said, I've spread you to the four winds. What it means is, I've spread you like the four winds, meaning just like the world can't exist without wind. The world can't exist without Yisrael. There's no way to destroy all of Yisrael. Plus, they'll call you the cut-off kingdom. In other words, you're complaining about the gangrene. They're going to call you the incomplete kingdom. So, king says to him, you said good. You had a good argument. The rule is that anybody who defeats the king, probably publicly, in an argument, has to get thrown down this slope into a pit of ashes where he suffocates and dies. So they were taking him out for this purpose. Some Roman matron said to him, woe to the ship that goes out without paying its tariff. Meaning, you're going out to sea, you won't be able to get into port because you don't have a tariff. Meaning, you don't have a brit milah. And it was evidently in the process of converting and didn't convert fully. So, nafal al-resha de'urla te'kata. So, evidently, he he did his own Brit Milah at this last minute. I've given my tax. Chalfit v'avrit. Now I'm traveling. Meaning he's going to Olam Haba. Because Shadule, when they threw him down the pit, Amar, kol nechasoy l'Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav. I'm giving all of my money. He was evidently a rich man. All of my money to Rabbi Akiva and to his colleagues. So you see, this is around at the end of the first century or so. Yatsa Rabbi Akiva v'darash. Rabbi Akiva then darshan. Vayal Aaron u'levanav. Lechem apanim. What's the din? Mechtsa Aaron u'mechtsa levanav. Meaning half it goes to Akiva chaverav, half goes to chaverav. Yatsava kol v'amrat. Right, Ketia Bar Shalom is Uman L'Chayi Olam Haba. Ketia Bar Shalom will come to Olam Haba, and that's why he's the exception of a Roman notable who goes to Olam Haba. Abachar Rebbe V'Yamar, when Rebbe thought about this part of the story, he said, Yesh Koneh Olamo B'Sha'achat, something we're going to get to in a few daf. The story of Elizabeth and Druya, a person can acquire his Olam Haba in 1 minute, Yesh Koneh Olamo B'Chamash Shanim, and some people it takes them years. Antoninos Shem Shel Rebbe, Antoninos served Rebbe. It was over those years that he gained his place. Adar Khan, which is Adarvan, who was one of the early Sasanian kings, I believe, in Persia. Shimshel Rav, he did the same thing with Rav and served him. Kishachiv Antoninus Amar Rebbe Nipar Da Chavila. When Antoninus died, Rebbe, who outlived him, said, our bond has been broken. This close friend of mine. Kishachiv Adar Khan Amar Rav Nipar Da Chavila. Rav said the same thing when Adarvan died. Okay, now a famous story about Unklus, the famous Ger, and this is also probably during the time of Domitian, because remember, Unklus was a student of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, and they were at the right in the period right after the Churban. Unklus par klonimos igayr, he converted. Shadar Kesar Gunda Duromoi Abatre, so the Caesar sent a Roman unit to go get him. And probably the reason is this may have been Domitian, who really hated Jews, and here this notable son of Romans, his father's name Clonimos, which means a man of good deeds, a beautiful person, he's probably a notable and a wealthy guy, so he converts. That's not good. So the king sent the Roman soldiers after him. Mashchinu bikrai. So the first thing he did was he engaged them in talking about Psukim, Igayu. They all converted. So Hada Shadar Gunda Dromai Achrina Batre. So the king sent another group. Don't get involved in the conversation. So Kiavushaklu Azlu, as they were walking, Amar Lahu, Emelechu Miltam Alma. Let me just talk about something, not about religion. Nifura, Nakat Nura, Kame Pifura. These are all different levels of officials. So the guy who actually watches the gate holds up a candle in front of the guy who's in charge of the gates. Pifura, there's Apifura Leduchsa, to the guy who's in charge of the city. Duchsa Lehegmona. Guy in charge of the region. Egmona lekoma, to the guy who's really in charge of the whole country. Koma minakat nura mikami inshi. Do you think the guy in front of who's in charge of the whole country holds up the torch in front of everybody else? It's like you've gone up the hierarchy and the guy on top takes care of all of the citizens. Amr lelo, there's of course not. Amr lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nakat nura kam Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does lead with a candle, he leads on Yisrael. Tefliva Adonai lech lifneham yomam, bamud esh, when they left Mitzrayim. Oh, Igayu kulu, they all converted. So Hara Shara Gunda Achrina Abatre. So what happened? He sent the third group. Don't talk to him at all. Kinakti Leva Azle, as they were leaving, Chaza Mezuzta Temancha Pitcha. He saw the mezuzah that was on his door. Otiv Yudei Allah Ve'amar Lehu Mahai, Mahai. He put his hand on it and he said, what do you think this is? Amrule Imalanat, you tell us. So they violated their orders. Amar lehu min hagosh shelola melech vasavadam yoshev bimifnim vavadam yishamim otom bachutz. The normal process procedure is that a king sits inside and his servants guard him from the outside. V'ilu haKodesh Baruch Hu, it's the opposite. Avadam bimifnim, his servants are on the inside. V'hu meshamran bachutz. Shtemar Adonai Shvor Tzed Chavuacha miyata v'yad olam. What happened? Igayur. They all converted. Now this, by the way, parallels two stories in Tanakh. The first is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yotet, when Shaul sent successively three groups of soldiers to get David, and they all ended up joining the prophets that Shmuel was leading, and finally Shaul came and he also joined. And the second one is in the beginning of Malachim Bet, Perak Aleph, when Achaziahu sent messengers to Baal Zvuv, to inquire whether he's going to live, and Eliyahu stopped them and said, why are you going there? Tell Achaziahu he's going to die because he's not asking God. And he sent three groups, and the first two got killed because lightning came and killed them. But these are groups that are sent to get, soldiers that are sent to get the renegade prophet, as it were, in this case, the ger. Now, back to Antoninus, tu lo sharabatre. Good. If you look on the page, the word goyim, the way it's written in the Tanakh, is gimel yod yod mem. We read goyim, but that's why I made the ketiv with a slightly different font. Amrav Yehud Amarav, al tikri goyim ela geyim. Meaning that it's not that you have two nations in your stomach, but you have two very high and mighty people, one from Esav, one from Yaakov. Ze Antoninus v'Rebbe, shlo pasku mi'al shulchanam lo chazeret, v'lo kishut, v'lo tznon, lo bimot hachama, v'lo hagshamim. All winter and all summer, all year, they had lettuce, and they had kishot, which is another kind of a fruit, a vegetable, and radishes. These are all things that are very important for health. Tamar mar, tznon mechatech ochel, chazeret mehapech ma'achal, kishot machriv me'ayim. These are all good for digestion. Hai v'atam Rabbi Shmuel, lamani krashman kishuin v'neisha kashin l'gufo shel adam kecharavot. Why are squash called kishuin? Because they're bad for your body. The answer is lo kash abiravi abazutri. The big ones are bad for you, the small ones are good for you. But bottom line is that Rebbe and Antoninus were these two very wealthy men who always had all of these worldly needs. The next piece in the Mishnah is Yom HaLeida and Yom HaMita. And in Yom HaMita, we saw a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Rabbi Meir said Yom HaMita, meaning the day of the king's death, and we would have to assume that it's an anniversary of the king's death, because otherwise there is no 3 days in advance. You don't know when he's going to die. And the Chachamim added that a death that involves Srefa, and we'll see what that means, but burning something, some funerary rite, has Avodah Zarah, and if not, not. And as I mentioned, when we studied the Mishnah, there are two ways to view that. It could be that Reb Meir is more strict, and any celebration or commemoration of the death of the emperor has Avodah Zarah. And Chacham say, no, only a death of an emperor with the funerary burning involves that. It could be the opposite. Chacham are expanding it and saying, any death of anybody that's commemorated with this funerary burning would be prohibited. In any case, let's see how the Gemara deals with it. Michlal Reb Meir Savar Loshna Mita Sheish Basrefa Veloshna Mita Shein Basrefa Palchi Balavarat Kachavim. So Reb Meir obviously holds that whether or not the death is celebrated with this burning or not, there is worship of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's prohibited. Alma Srefa Lav Chukahi. So we see therefore that the burning itself is not really a pagan rite, because that's not what establishes it. So the burning is some sort of an incidental thing that's done. Now, what's the implication? Michlal de Rabbanan Savri Srefa Chukahu. Therefore, the Rabbanan who disagree would hold that burning is a chukah. Now, making it a chukah means it's a pagan rite, and that's going to put it into a unique halacha category we'll see in a moment. Vahatanya, we have the following braita. Sorfin al hamalachim velo midarchei amori. You're allowed to burn things of the king. This is Malchei Yisrael, and it's not a violation of going after pagan practices. But if the Rabbanan really hold that burning is a chukah, and how could we do that for our Jewish kings? The Torah says you can't follow the pagan rituals of the non-Jew, of the Canaanim, etc. Ella, it must be the chulei amaseifal av chukahi. Everybody must agree that the burning itself, we'll see the details in a moment, the burning itself is not a chukah ta'akum. Ella chashivutahi. It's just simply a sign of importance and of respect for the person who died. V'hacha ma'akami palgi. The machloket is different, but it's related. Remeir savar lo shna mita sheish basrefa v'lo shna mita shein basrefa. He says whether or not they burn palchi balvarot kochavim. They always worship at any commemorative gathering for someone who died. They always do some pagan worship. Rabbanan Savi, what do they hold? Mitashi ish basrefa chashiva lehu upalchiba. She says that burning is not the problem, but burning is a symptom. Meaning, if they burn at this commemoration, that shows you that this death is important enough that they're also worshiping idols. Now, that's how we solve the machloket. Let's look back at the issue of burning for Jewish king. Gufa sofinal machimein bo mishum darchei amori shenemar. There's a proof text, because what does Yirmiyahu say to Tzidkiyahu? B'shalom tamut uv'misrfot avotacha amlachim, as rishonim, etc., you're going to be burnt. Which means he says to Tzidkiyahu that you will be burned like all of the your ancestors, the earlier kings. Remember, Tzidkiyahu, even though he was a puppet king of the Bavlim, was a direct descendant of the Davidic line. We do the same thing for the heads of the Sanhedrin when they die. What do they burn? Mitatan, their beds, uklei tashmishan, which may be bed clothes. Umaaseh shemet Rabbi Gamliel Zaken, when Rabbi Gamliel Zaken died somewhere in the around the year 50 or so, v'saraf alav unklus hager shivim manet tzuri. Unklus burned 70 tzuri coins. Now, v'amart mayim sorfin aleihem mitatan uklei tashmishan. We don't burn coins; we burn their bed clothes. Ema b'shivim manet tzuri. What he meant is 70 manet tzuri was a lot of money worth of these things they burn. Umidi achrini lo, they don't burn anything else. Vatanya okrin alam lachim ve'inmo mishum darkei mori. We're allowed to lame the animals of the kings, and that's not called darkei mori either. In other words, that's not a chukata aku. So Amar Papa susharachav alav. It means only the horse that he would ride on, they would lame to make sure nobody else rode on it. Uvehimat Torah lo, what about other animals? Vatanya ikur sheyesh bat treifa asur. If you lame him in such a way that makes the animal a treifa, then it's asur, because you're not allowed to make a behema tahora. Remember, a horse is not a behema tahora. You're not allowed to make an ox into a treifa. V'she'ein ba'treifa mutar. But if it doesn't make it a treifa, it's mutar. Basically, of course, she'ein ba'treifa. So how do you do that? How do you lame the animal without making him a treifa? Hamanasher parsoteha min ha'arkuva ulamata. You cut the tendon, evidently, below the knee. All right, so why would they do this? You said it's limited to bed clothes. Talking about Papa, be'olam ha-moshechet bakaron, ba'agala ha-moshechet bakaron. It's the calf, egla, that pulls his carriage. In other words, it's own private animals that are used for the king's use. Nobody else had to let use them, so to do that, after the king dies, they lame them. But not that all the things he owns. That's just the mitah, etc. Now, yom tiglachat zikano. The end of the Mishnah gave that list of things that are, there's only a one-day prohibition of work, and one of the things was Yom Tiglachat Zekano, the day that he shaves his beard and his blorit. Blorit was a special kind of hairdo that they wore. So now, Ibai Elohu, Hechiktani, what? How does the Mishnah read? Yom Tiglachat Zekano, Vehanachat Blorito. So let me give a quick introduction. They would have a ritual period where they would, and this is not necessarily kings, where they would cut all the, they would shave their beard, and they would also cut the hair on the side of their head, so all there was a mop of hair on top, which was something, looked, supposed to look like something like a plant. Oh, and so that day, they shaved, and they also cut to arrange the blorit, and a year later, perhaps, they would then cut the blorit, shave again, cut the blorit, be clean shaven, and take that hair and burn it as an offering. So which is it? Toshmana Tani Tavai. The answer is that both are true. We have a bright Yom Tiglachat Zekano v'hanachat blorito, setting it up, and Yom Tiglachat Zekano v'ha'avarat blorito, taking it off. Okay, I'm reviewing Omar Shmuel. Or acheret yesh lem b'Romi. There's another holiday they celebrate in Rome, another pagan festival besides the ones we mentioned. Achat l'shivim shana. It's once every 70 years. What do? V'vein Adam Shalem, they bring a person who's in good shape or complete. U'markivin oto Adam Chiyar, they put him on top of a lame guy. It's already difficult. U'malbishin oto Bigdei Adam Rishon, they evidently had the clothes of Adam Rishon, which as the Masorah presents, was handed down ultimately to Esav. Those were the clothes that Yaakov came into Yitzchak with. And of course, since they were Esav's, they ended up in Rome. Umenichin lo birosho karkifalo shel Rabbi Shmuel. They took Rabbi Shmuel's face. If you remember from the story of the martyrology, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol had such a beautiful face that the daughter of the Caesar wanted it pulled off of him to keep it after he died or as he died. So they brought that sort of mask, as it were. V'talu levit savarei, and around the neck of this guy who's on top of the lame guy, matkal mataim zuz in the fiza, a 200 zuz coin of gold. And they cover all of the marketplaces with onyx stones. And they announce in front of this guy, Sach Kiri Plaster. The date that he announced is a lie, meaning the date of Mashiach coming is a lie because he hasn't come yet. Achua de Marana Zaifana. meaning the brother of our master, Dahainu, the brother of Esav, our master, Dahainu Yaakov, is a liar. De chame chame, anybody who would see this would see it. Udelo chame lo chame, they would announce, if you don't see it now, you'll never see it again, because it's going to be in 70 years, you'll probably be dead. So, maya hani l'ramah b'ramahute, what does it help the deceptive man to be a deceiver? L'zayfana b'zayfute, or a forger, to be a forger, meaning they're coming down on Yaakov, and indirectly coming down on, or directly coming down on Bnei Yisrael. U'mesayim b'hachad, the last thing they say is, v'ay l'dein kaid yakum dein. Woe to this one, meaning the guy on top, who's representing Esav, and of course Yaakov is lame, he's the lame one who's representing Yaakov after his wrestling match. Woe to the one on top when the one on below gets up. They recognize that at some point in history, Yaakov will rise up, and that'll be the end of Esav. Okay, so Amar Vashi, Hichshilan piyam l'shaim, the declaration they make messed them up. Because what did they say? Achua demarana zayfana. Iyamru zayfana achua demarana. If he said he's a forger, the brother of our master, Kedika Amri, then it would be very clear who they're talking about. Hasha da'amri de'marana zayfana, what'd they say? Achuha de'marana zayfana, it sounds like the brother of our master the forger, not the brother of our master is a forger. Marana gufe zayfanahu. So it's like they themselves admitted that Esav is the liar. Atani dan maitam aloko choshiv lo lahai. Why doesn't Artana include this festival? Ti'ita b'chol shata v'shata kochoshiv. You only counted ones that happen every year. V'leita b'chol shata v'shata aloko choshiv. Otherwise they didn't count it. Okay, now, Hani de Romai. Everything we've seen so far are Roman holidays. Udaparsoi Mai, what are the Parthian festivals? Motridi, Ritursiki, Mohanki, Umari, we're not very familiar with what these holidays are. Hani Parsoi de Romai, that's them. The Bavloi Mai, what about the ancient Babylonian holidays? Moranki, Vakniti, now, Bechanuni, Veser Badar. The 10th of Adar, they had a holiday. Chanam Rav Chista Marav, Chanam Rav Amarav. Chamisham batei avodat kochavim kvuin. There are five places that are permanent, consistent batei avodah zarah. There's always avodah zarah going on. You can never do business there. Elu en beit bel bebavel, bel b-e-l, the god of in the city of Bavel. Beit nevu bechursi. Nevu is in Babylonia. Of course, he's not far from Bavel. Is a name that's a name of a god, and many of the kings had their name Nevuchadnezzar, Nebuzradan. Tarata Shiba Mapag, Srifa Shiba Ashkelon, so near Ashkelon there's a worship site for Seraphus, and Nashra Shiba Ravya. Ki Atar Avdim, Avdim came to Bavel, Osifol, and he said in Eretz Yisrael they added other cities, Yarid Shiba Ein Bechi, there's a, Ein Bechi is somewhere in the Lebanon Valley in Baalbek, there's a festival that they would have there, a fair, Nidbacha Shiba Akko. Ikat Amri Netavra Shabako. So there's a different version. You read Shabako, Nidbacha Shaben Bechi. You have them flip. Okay. Chanambar of Chista, the Rav Chista. My Kfuin Hin. What does Kfuin mean? What does it mean these places are permanent? This is what your mother's father said. He explained, Kvuin Hem Leolam, they're always there doing Avodah Zarah, Tadira Kula Shata Palchilu, they're always worshiping there all year. Amar Shmuel, Bagolain Wasur Lo Yom Eidan Bilvad, in the Golain, Bavel, only the days of the festivals themselves are prohibited, not 3 days before. V'yom Eidam Nami Miyasur, who says it's Asur even on Yom Eidam? The reason, as we said earlier, is because they're not all that observant and not all that careful, and therefore there's less of a chashash. But who says it's Asur even on the day? V'har of Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, Sharle the Rav Bruna Lizvune Chamra, he allowed him to buy wine, Rav Gidol Lizvune Chitin, and he allowed Rav Gidol to buy wheat, but the Chagta de Tayoi, on the Arab holidays. He answered, Shani Chagta de Tayoi de Lokvia. Their holidays aren't at any set time, so he can't really make a prohibition against it, and it's not that big of an issue, and therefore he allowed it to buy from them, even on their holiday. Okay, we'll pause at this point, we'll pick it up with the next Mishnah, Mishnah Dalad, in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.